Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Basukos Teshvu. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on the 13th day of Tishrei, which is the anniversary of the yard site of the Rebbe Marash, who's known as Lachatchila River. To begin with, you have to go over the top. And the Rebbe went ahead and certified and edited this Chassidic discourse in honor of right before the holiday of Sukkot in the year Tav Shin Lamed Vav, 50 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse where it says, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim, where God commands us to sit in the Sukkah for 7 days, and then it continues on in the commandment and says, Kala Ezroch B'Yisrael, every resident of the Jewish people shall sit in the Sukkah. And the reason is, Laman Yedu Derisechem, so that future generations will know, Ki Basukah is because in a Sukkah, booth, Hashaftis B'nai Yisrael, I created that possibility for the Jewish people to sit in the Sukkah. When was that? When I took them out of the land of Egypt. Just as we know the questions that are pointed out in the Chassidic discourse of the Chabad Rebbeim, and it's an introduction, what the teaching of the Rebbe Marash, who was celebrating an anniversary of his passing, and he explains that Sukkah, so you have the physical Sukkah, but Sukkah spiritually is called Shalom, it's peace. Like it says, Ufreis aleinu Sukkah Shlomecha, spread upon us the Sukkah, the abode of peace. So the question is, what's the connection between Sukkah and the idea of peace? Also, in the 7 days of Sukkot, there are several ideas, which is connected to the idea of in Sukkah, you should dwell for 7 days. For example, we have the mitzvah of taking the four species, the lulav, the esrog, and the asam aravos. Like it says, v'lakachtam lachem b'rayim harishon, you take it on the first day of Sukkot. So obviously there's a connection between the four species and Sukkah. And we know that when you want to do the mitzvah, there's doing a mitzvah, and there's doing a mitzvah very, very beautiful in the highest level. So the best way and the highest way to do the mitzvah of taking this four species when you take it in the sukkah. So you see there's a connection between the four species and the sukkah. Also, in the 7 days of Sukkot, you have the idea in the temple which took place where they brought 70 sacrifices, and those 70 sacrifices were corresponding to the nations of the world, like the Medrash says. And the Rebbe says, this idea, even though we had it then, but we have it today as well. Because we know it says, V'neshalma parim soseinu, that the way to make up for the fact that we don't have the sacrifices is with our lips, which means through our prayers. And especially like it's explained, that neshalma, which means just you're making it up, but the fact is, not only to make it up, but it also comes from neshalma, comes from shlemus, it's complete. In other words, that even in the times of exile, when we say the verses of the sacrifices of the 70 nations, of the 70 animals, so then that it's as if it's done on the same level, it's complete. Now, even though we're in the time of exile, but the fact is we're doing it not just in meditation, we're actually saying the words. So we're affecting it in the physical realm of the world, in the materialistic part of the world. And as we know, when you move your lips, that's an action. And like the author explains clearly at Lent in Tanya, so therefore today, this idea of bringing the sacrifices is complete on a spiritual level, and especially when you do it with by uttering the verses that talk about it. So we have to understand, what's the connection? These ideas of what? Taking the four species, bringing the 70 sacrifices, with the idea of Sukkah. Now, when the first Yom Tov of Sukkot, the first day of Yom Tov, falls out in Shabbat, now the Rebbe said the Chassidic discourse that year, that's the way it was. Obviously, in this year, it's not so. There's a difference when it does fall in Shabbat between the way it was in the times of the Temple and the way it's in the times of exile. And just like, for example, the difference of blowing the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls in Shabbat, that in the times of the Temple, they blew the shofar, but not outside. In other words, in the times of the temple, on the first day of Sukkot, so then you would go ahead and take the lulav and esrog on Shabbat as well. However, when the temple is destroyed, no, you don't take it on the first day, like it's explained at length in the Mishnah and in the Talmud. Okay, so in order to understand all these ideas, the point of the explanation is that Sukkah, what's Sukkah spiritually? Sukkah is called Makif. It hovers over. That's what Sukkah is. In other words, we know something which is called pnimi, something which is internalized, and something which hovers over. Sukkah is the concept of makif. In makif itself, there's different levels of makif. So he said it's not like the makif of a garment, because a garment is also makif, it hovers over you. But there's a division. You have the part that goes over your head, the part that goes over the body, the part that goes over your feet. And then again, every single person, based on their size, it's a different size. So it's a makif, but it's custom made, so to speak. However, when you're dealing with the makif, the hovering over of Sukkot, there is no difference. Because the fact is it covers over the whole, the head, the body, and every part of the person, and not only in parts, but all is one. You walk in one time, the sukkah covers you totally over. So if that's the case, we have to understand, so what are we saying? Sukkah is makif. It hovers over, and the highest level hovering over. That's the case. Once we have to understand, it says about sukkahs, which we said is makiv, teshru, you should internalize, and like it's pointed out in different Chassidic discourse, and especially the classical Chassidic discourse, the Rebbe Rashab and the Yitofrei Shamach Vav. So makiv, and especially we explain it, so totally hovering over, it's not something that you internalize, it's not something which you take b'hisyashvut. So what does that mean? B'sukkahs, which is makiv, teshru, which is internalized. And it says, b'sukkah, it's in the sukkah. And this idea of sitting in the sukkah, it says three times, b'sukkah's teshu, yeshu b'sukkah, b'sukkah's ishafti. So it's almost like a contradiction. So that's question number one. Also, we have to understand, what does it say afterwards? Laman yedidur seichem. Why are we sitting in the sukkah? So future generations will know, ki b'sukkah's ishafti, that the Hashem created the opportunity for the Jewish people to sit in the sukkah when we left Egypt. In other words, what's the reason why we're sitting in the sukkah? So the future generations will know that Hashem put us in the sukkah. Now, the fact is, the mitzvah of sukkah is not a mitzvah which is dependent on going into the land of Israel. And it's not only something which applied in the times of the temple. All throughout future generations, we sit in the sukkah, because we know Torah doesn't change. So therefore, the knowledge of kibas sukkah is a shafti, that Hashem allowed the Jewish people, made it possible for them to sit in the sukkah when we left Egypt, up for the future generations, that we're going to sit in the sukkah. So what is the idea about sukkah's teshu? We're going to sit so the future generation know. In other words, the knowledge of the future generation are connected to the fact that Hashem allowed us to sit in the sukkah the first time. So what is the connection? Okay. So again, so the explanation is, like we explained before, what is sukkah? Sukkah is something which hovers over. Now the question is, if it hovers over, how do we internalize it? And he explains like this. It says in the verse, "Bakesa liyom chagenu." And there's reference to Tikkun b'chodesh shofar, you should blow the shofar in the Rosh Chodesh. "Bakesa" means it's concealed. "Liyom chagenu" gets revealed in the holiday of Sukkot. What does that mean? All the ideas that are bakesa, that are covered up, that are concealed, in the days before the holiday Sukkot, which means Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they get revealed on the holiday Sukkot. And like, for example, the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. What is the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah? To blow the shofar. So whatever happens spiritually, but the revelation of that happens on Sukkot. Where does it happen? It happens on the schach, the covering, the part that covers over the sukkah, the schach. And that's why the schach, as we know that the sukkah is called based on the schach, the part that covers it over. So the schach, numerically, so schach is spelled with three letters, samach, chaf, and chaf. Samach is 60, chaf is 20, and another chaf is another 20. So you have a total of 100, which corresponds to the 100 blasts that we do on shofar, that we blow on the shofar. We have 30 in the beginning, 30 in the first Shemoneh Esrei, 30 in the second Shemoneh Esrei when we repeat it, and 10 in Kaddish. You have 30, 60, 90, and 100. And that's the custom to blow to 100 blasts on Rosh Hashanah. The one we do 30 later, that's the mix up the Satan. So you see that those 100 blasts that you blow on Rosh Hashanah, you think, oh, blast. But guess what? On Sukkot, it gets revealed where? In the Schach of the Sukkah. Also, even in the specific amount of voices that take place in when you blow the shofar. Because the fact is, what we say, Sukkah is spelt of, Schach is spelt of Samach, which is 60, Chaf, which is 20, and another Chaf, which is 20. So 60 represents the 60 tkiyot. That's the blast that's called the tkiya. The 20 is the 20 blasts, which is called the shvarim. And the last 20 is the 20 blasts, which is called the trua. And the same thing also, when it comes to that's in reference to the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. And the same thing also in reference to the holiday of Yom Kippur, because the only holiday of Yom Kippur in the temple, they bring the ktoret, the incense. And when does they get revealed? Also on Sukkot. And as we know that the schach, again, the schach that covers up the sukkah is created from the smoke of the Torah on Yom Kippur. Now, even though you're going to say, one second, the fact is Yom Kippur, you have the smoke in a revealed way, because the main idea of Bakefsa, which means that where it's concealed, is that in the beginning of the month, the moon is only covered in the beginning of the month, which is based on Rosh Hashanah. But the fact is, the main revelation of Yom Kippur, because again, you do have a revelation, it's right 10 days later, where's that revelation? It's on high. However, when it comes to the sukkah, it gets revealed on the lowest level, up to the point that literally the physical schach, which comes from the Torah, you can see the schach. And you can say, possibly, that the beginning of this revelation, which takes place between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, is actually a preparation of the revelation of Yom Kippur, which basically, which is mainly on high, comes down in literally in this physical world. And that's why, and that's the connection between the idea of what? A Sukkah's idea of is makif that hovers over. Why? Because the difference between the incense and a sacrifice, because in reference to the sacrifice, it says, lachmi the bread, l'ishai. In other words, lechem, bread, is something that you basically internalize. For example, there are certain sacrifices that the priest eats. And then there are certain sacrifices that the owner of the sacrifice eats it. And then there are certain ones that everyone eats it. So that's a part that you can internalize. However, when it comes to the ketores, the incense, and especially Yom Kippur, that's makif. Because no one internalizes it. So therefore, the revelation is we're on the holiday of Sukkot, which is the idea of makif, which what makif is makif of schach. So on the Torah and Yom Kippur, it hovers over, you don't internalize it. But in Sukkot, it hovers over, and you can actually physically see it. Because the fact is, the Torah is connected to what? To the Holy of Holies, which is the ultimate level of makif. So therefore, even the makif of Sukkah, which is created from the incense of Yom Kippur, which is higher than the makif of a garment, and it has no division, and up until hovers over. So the fact is, on Sukkahs, we have the power that makif from Rosh Hashanah, the 100 blasts from Rosh Hashanah, which creates the schach, and even the makif of the ketores, which creates the schach, that all gets revealed when on Sukkot. So based on this, Rebbe explains, that's the connection between Sukkah, which is Makif, which reveals everything in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, to the idea of what? Of peace. Like it says, Ufrei Soleinu Sukkah Shlomecha, which is spread over us the Sukkah of peace. Why? Because since, what's Sukkah, we said? Sukkah is Makif that hovers over, which means it's not about division. This is right, left, up, down. It's higher. There's Makif is all about unity. So what comes from the Makif of Sukkah, what comes from that Makif, it creates peace. Because when you have something which is Makif, it means everyone's included. That's ultimate unity. So you have the peace between the godly soul, the Nefesh HaLokit, and you have peace between the animal soul, the Nefesh HaMahamis. And you also have peace between all the levels of the God, all the levels of the godly soul. Why? Because since Sukkah, we said, is a Makif, which means from the head till your feet. So therefore you have the component of makif that creates what? The ultimate peace in the human being. So that's where you have sukkah that creates peace with the human being. But also sukkah creates peace in the world. Like we know that sukkah is in the level of the Ark of Noah. And we know that in the Ark of Noah was total peace. Because even though in the Ark of Noah, you had all the animals. Animals would have killed each other up alive, but it says no one hurt anybody, no one devoured anyone else. And compared to the peace, which is going to be like Mashiach comes, like it says clearly in the prophets, it's not going to be any harm and any damage. So you have the sukkah, which is based, it creates peace with the human being and creates in the world. Now, even though the makif of sukkah is connected to it in the sfirot, it's the chitzoni, it's the external part of bina, and the ark of Noah is actually the internal part of bina, and however Mashiach comes, it's going to be even higher than the internal part of bina waits in this place. But nevertheless, the peace of sukkah is compared to the peace of the future. So this is an important piece. Rebbe saying is like this: sukkah is makif; it creates peace. Like the Teva of Noach, even though again Noach is more the primius of the internal body and Makif is chitzonius, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be even higher. But Sukkah is connected to this highest level, what's going to be like when Mashiach comes in the future. Why is that? Because what's the reason that when Mashiach comes in the future, there's not going to be any more fighting, any more animosity, and there's any more conflict. Where does that come from? It comes from Das, the sphere of Das. And like the verse says, clearly when Mashiach comes, Ki Mala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. You know what we're looking forward to the future? Because Deya, the knowledge of specifically Das of Hashem is going to be revealed all over the place. So therefore, the Makom of Sukkah, as the verse says clearly, Leman Yedu, so we should know. So the Makom of Sukkah is to create that Das. And that's why it creates peace on the level, not only of the level of the Ark of Noach, but even on the level of the future Mashiach comes. So you see, there's a direct connection between the peace that takes place in the Sukkah and the peace what's going to be Mashiach comes. Because again, what's the reason why there's going to be peace when Mashiach comes? Because Das, everyone's going to know God. And the whole idea of the Sukkah is Leman Yedu, we should know Hashem. And especially based on the explanation that the connection of the Schach of Sukkah is connected to the incense, the Keteris of Yom Kippur. And we know the incense of Yom Kippur, which level is that, goes to the highest level in Keter, goes to Atik. And like, for example, the whole idea of Yom Kippur, because we have to have five prayers, because it's in the level what? Of Atik. And that's the level of Bina, even in the external part of Bina, because we know even in the external part of Bina, what gets revealed? Atik. And Atik gets revealed in Bina. And this level of optic, which gets revealed in the Schach of the Sukkah, that creates peace, and that's why Sukkah is called Sukkah Shlomecha. So you see again that Sukkah is all about peace, because it's connected to Das, it's connected to optic, and that will create the ultimate peace. Now, the intent of drawing down this powerful level of Makif, it's not just to have Makif and it hammers over us, the goal is to internalize it. Makif is great, it's amazing, it's peaceful. But if you have peace out in the clouds, that's wonderful, but you want peace to be real on a practical level. So the goal is that the peace should be internalized. And that's why, after you go into the Sukkah, you take the four species, which comes after the command of Basukas Teshu. Because the mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah starts right from the beginning. Right when Sukkah, when Sukkah starts at night. Afterwards, in the morning, whether it's when from dawn or sunrise, you have already the mitzvah to take the four species. Because what's the whole idea of taking the four species? It's to bring in the makif of Sukkah in an internal way. And like it just brought down in Kabbalah and in Chassidut, that what's the whole idea when you take the law of Nesu and you shake it? Is the idea is to bring in Das into Nukva, the female part of Zer Amp in the small face of six minois, which is standing in the breast of Zah. And that's why you need that when you shake the lulav, it has to read, it has to touch your chest. And when you draw down into the Nukva, which basically is not only into the spiritual point, but it's to bring it down into the physical world, up to bring it down to the physical world on the lowest levels. And therefore, the effect of peace by drawing in Das, which is down here into this materialistic physical world, is going to be just like what's in the future when Mashiach comes, where it says, "Vayarei v'leishchisu," because Kimala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. So this is what's going to accomplish in the future. Guess what? We go into the Sukkah, which is all about peace, and then we take the Sukkah and we bring it to our chest, which we bring down the peace in the physical level. That's exactly what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. We're going to have peace on all levels of the world. And the connection of Omala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem, meaning the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. Two, the idea there's not going to be peace. Why when there's going to be Das is there going to be peace? And the Rebbe explains something very, very powerful. It's a very, very important piece to know. And the Rebbe says something like this: because all the quarreling, all the arguments, all the fighting comes from one reason. If you want to know the source, anytime there's a fight, you want to know what's the reason why they're fighting. It's not because this one said this and that one said that and this one did this. No. Kabbalah says, you know why there's a fight? There's one reason only. The fight is because of Das is bekatnus. When Das is small, then there's fighting. When Das is big, there is no fighting. And we know the famous parable that when you have a child, but a child doesn't have Das, and what happens when you have someone that a child doesn't have Das? It could be an adult if you don't have Das. But the point is, when you're lacking Das, when you don't do what they want, they right away get angry. And like the author explains in Tanya, the holy book of Tanya, that a child will get angry over something little, something stupid. However, an adult, which means an adult, someone that has das. You can be a child that has a lot of das, you can be an adult that has little das. But the point is, generally speaking, adults that have das, you're able to tolerate something that's even the opposite of you. And the same thing also applies to the piece of the sukkah. Because what is the idea of sukkah? Leman yedu. It fuels das. And if when you have the das, which comes from the sukkah, then you have sukkah shlomecha. So here's a very, very important piece that the Rebbe is explaining is that what is the whole idea? The whole idea is to bring in that the makif should be internalized. How do you internalize it? By going to the sukkah and shaking the lulav esrog. And the connection, how it works. How do you internalize peace on the most lowest level? By fueling das. And as long as the das is strong, you won't fight about anything. And sadly, if you're fighting, it's because you have to work on the das. You got to pick up the das a little bit. Now, but in order to bring in this powerful makif of sukkah into an internalized way, and it should be done in a way of yisyashvus, it should be, you know, calm and peace and internalized, like it says about sukkos, which is again the makif, the peace. It should be teshul, you have to internalize it. And when you actually take the sukkah, it actually comes in the level of nukva, the female part of the zayar, in the small phase of six midos, even though the fact that this makif is very, very high. It's hovers over. And as we explained before, that the makif of sukkah is even higher than the differences of a garment, of the head and the body and the feet, etc. And therefore, it has no division. But the goal is that we want to internalize it. So that's why he explains, you know how it works. Ki basukkah, he says, shafti esbnei Yisrael, because Hashem says, I already put the Jewish people in a sukkah. Which means I created the model that the powerful piece of makif should be able to be internalized. When did I do it? When they left Egypt. Like, you know, God started the process. Ani hamaschil. God says, yes, it's very hard. How do you take this powerful piece and it's all great, it's all amazing, everything is right, and internalize it? Guess what? I already set the model up. When you left Egypt, I put you into a sukkah. I allowed you to internalize it. And because Hashem created the model and started the process, we're able to internalize this powerful makif. Therefore, we have the power to go ahead and do basukas teshu and internalize this powerful energy of makif and peace into an internalized way. And that's why it says, leman yedu, so that we should know. Because the idea of sitting in a sukkah, which means we're internalizing the peace, it's not in a way, okay, it's a decree and I have to accept it. No, it's not that. But the goal is it should come into your das, into your chachma bina, and most importantly, your das, into an internalized way. And not only into your brain, but into time. And that's why it says, Basukas Teshu Shivas Yom. God wants to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. It means every single moment of time should be internalized with peace. And as we know, the 7 days, it includes the whole week. And let's explain many, many places on the verse that says, Nar Hayisi Gam Zakanti, I was a child and I grew up, that every single Sunday of the week starts the whole idea of creation again. And like it's explained, reference, when we do the shaking in the lulav, we bring in the level of nukva into malchus, which is basically the beginning of time. And the goal is to bring in the powerful idea of makif, peace, in an internalized way into every single aspect of our life. And the verse goes on to say, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, every resident of the Jewish people should sit in the sukkah. So we have to understand. The fact is, the commandment of Basukas Teshu means sit in the sukkah. Who was he giving? God says Basukas Teshu. You should sit in the sukkah. Everyone's sitting in the sukkah. So what is he adding? What is he adding? Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael. We already know we're supposed to sit in the sukkah. And Rebbe says something very beautiful and very powerful. And he says like this. Ezrach is referring to not every resident, every individual. It's referring to from Zorach, to shine. It's referring to the shine of the future. And that's why Ezrach starts with an Aleph. So he's saying that Ezrach is two words. Aleph is one part, and the Zorach is shining. Aleph is one of the letters that refer to the future, and the Zorach is referring to the shine of the future. And that's why he says, Kala Ezrach, be Yisrael, Yeshua Yisrael, guys. That means there's two insights. So from the perspective of Ezrach, of Yisrael, which is going to be in the future, from our perspective, going into the future, from the perspective of the Jewish people in the future, we have the power now to go ahead and internalize it. And even in the resonant today, and also the way it's going to be in the future. And also in this, we add, you can actually internalize it. And that's why the mitzvah of sukkah is also going to be in the future. And it's going to be at a much greater level. Like it's spoken about in the prophecy of Zechariah that we actually say on the Haftorah of Sukkot. So the Rebbe's saying is, Kala Ezer Grisol means that when you look in the future, Aleph is the future, Zorach is the future, which in the future we're going to have, be able to internalize it. Kala Ezer Grisol, that's how we have the power now, because we're going to have, since we will have it in the future. Now, in continuation of the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, and taking the four species, then we said we have the mitzvah of bringing the 70 bulls, which correspond to the 70 nations of the world. In other words, when we bring the 70 bulls, we actually protect the 70 nations. And we actually reveal their ultimate purpose of creation. Because the whole world was created only to command them on this, and we were created to serve Hashem. So in other words, the true idea of the nations of the world, it's like it's going to be like in the future when Mashiach comes, to basically serve the Jewish people. And like it says in the prophets clearly, that the nation, the kings and the officers are all going to be serving the Jewish people. And how much more so, not only the kings and the officers, but every single person will be serving the Jewish people. Now, that's what's going to be like when Mashiach comes. But since all the ideas and all the revelations of the future, it depends on what, like the Alvarez writes in Tanya, the classical chapter in Tanya 37, it's dependent on our actions and our work in the time of Galus, even the long part of Galus, and especially that's dependent on Galus. So this idea of when Mashiach comes, the nations of the world are going to serve us. How does that happen? And it happens by Gus going ahead, bringing the 70 sacrifices literally in times of temple, and today by praying them, by saying the words, in the time of Gullus. Why is that? Because we know that the work, the spiritual work of the sacrifices, and obviously of physical, and also the work of saying the words of the sacrifices, that affects the whole world. Because when you go ahead and you bring up an animal to sacrifice, you actually elevate the whole animal kingdom. By elevating the blood, the fat, which is the energy and the pleasure of the animal, which is you're actually elevating the whole animal kingdom. And when you go ahead and you elevate the animal kingdom, and then you draw down the energy from the highest level to low, so then you bring down that energy into the whole animal kingdom. So you elevate it, and then you bring down this powerful energy to this world. And the same thing also when we brought the 70 bulls, which is correspond to the 70 nations of the world, that the elevation and the drawing down by bringing these sacrifices, it affects all the nations of the world. And the same thing also when we say the verses about the sacrifice. And we said when you say the verses, like doing an action, when you say the verses of the sacrifices of the 70 bulls, which correspond to the 70 nations of the world, you actually draw in and you create a refinement in them. And you actually reveal their ultimate reason for their purpose. Because they were created to be able to serve Hashem. And now serve the Jewish people, and what gets revealed is the truth of Ata v'chartoni mikol ha'am, Hashem chose us among the nations of the world. And that's why it says in the prophets, Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim, that who will praise Hashem? All the nations of the world are going to praise Hashem. Shavchu kolomim, all the nations are going to give praise to Hashem. Why? Ki gavar aleinu chasdei. Because Hashem has done so much chesed for the Jewish people. Hashem says, one second, what's the connection? Because Hashem has done so much chesed for the Jewish people, that's why they're going to praise Hashem. And what is the explanation? Hashem says, it's known the explanation that because Hashem went ahead and gave us so much chesed, so then there was a transformation and refinement that takes place even in the nations of the world, and it gets revealed to them in a revealed way. And because they get refined, that's why they praise Hashem. So it's not like when Hashem does chesed for us, we're the only one that benefits. The whole world benefits, and that's why they praise Hashem. And how does that happen? When we go ahead and bring the 70 bulls as a sacrifice. And we do our work of saying the prayers, v'neshalom parnas aseinu. Because when we do that, it's actually an action, and that affects literally the physical world. And therefore, based on this, Rebbe explains, this is the connection between bringing the 70 bulls to what it says, now bring it full circle, to what it says about sukkah stage, we're sitting in the sukkah. Why? Because in order to affect in the nations of the world, you have to you have to bring in the makkav of sukkah. Because the fact is, the light of the makkav of sukkah, it blinds all the negative energy. That's first. As a, you want to start the process, you got to bring in, you got to bring in the powerful energy of the Makom of Sukkah. Now, even though, in order to transform the nations of the world, it doesn't come from Makom. It has to be an internal transformation, and that's why we bring specifically 70 bulls. Because a sacrifice is pneumius, it's internalized, it's bread, it's something which is consumed, etc. And like general, the idea of transformation, which transformation takes place specifically through an internalized connection. Like it says clearly, Nama Pum Charbalechol. And as you want to go ahead and elevate the bread, you have to eat it, which is an internal elevation. But the fact is, at the start, you have to bring in Makif. Makif of the Sukkah. Why? Because when you bring in the Makom of Sukkah, what that creates is, it creates a bittul, it creates an acceptance, and it creates a total submission. And this submission is an introduction, and it creates a preparation for the transformation afterwards by bringing the 70 bulls. And through that you have, yes, by reciting the verses through Gullus, you elevate it, and that actually brings a preparation to bring, bring the 70 bulls. So Rebbe's saying is like this. The connection is very simple. The process is you need to have the sukkah. Because sukkah is basically makif, and that creates a general sublimation, a general bittul. Then you have the 70 bulls that you bring, and that creates the internal transformation. And that's why it says, basukkah is teshu. We should sit in the sukkah. Laman yedu, they're saying the future generation will know. In other words, through that, basukkah is teshu. We have the makif that gets internalized. In other words, the Makom of Sukkah is in a way of teshu, gets internalized, it gets personalized, and on the contrary, the whole idea of Sukkah is teshu, because we know you have to only sit there, you have to not only sit there, you have to dwell there. In other words, eating and drinking, and everything that you do in the house, you have to do in the Sukkah. So what does that accomplish? It accomplishes that the Makif should come into Deirei Seichem to the generations. What does that mean? Into the revealed powers we have. What is the revealed powers? Our intellect, our seven emotions, and it should be Yedu Deirei Seichem. Like Yedu comes from Das, it comes from connection. That the effect of the Makif on the revealed powers is in a way that's understood and connected. Now, the reason and the power that we have to do this powerful spiritual work, like it says, Ki basukoi se shafti es b'nei Yisrael, because Hashem says, I already did it, I started the process when you left Egypt. And since Hashem says, Ani, I started the process, basukoi se shafti, I caused you to sit in the sukkah, that gives us the power for every single one of us. And we know we are called Adam. Why are we called Adam? Because we're Adam al Elyon, we're compared to Hashem on high. That we can affect, just like Hashem affects, that we have the power to bring in the peace of the sukkah in everything of it that we do, and every part of us, up till the generations, which means, we explain for generations, means all our revealed powers, our intellect, our emotions, up to the point that the drawing in of the hovering over of the sukkah, which should be felt in our prayers, also the prayer of Musaf, and the verses of the sacrifices of the seven bulls, and that affects the 70 nations of the world. And like we say in Hallel, and because we know in the 7 days of Sukkot, we say the complete Hallel. Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kolam, the nation of the world, praise Hashem, and it's going on literally in the nation of the world. And this all creates a proper preparation for every single Jewish person. And like we said, Ezra was referring to, that's going to shine in the future. And the part that's going to shine in the future, Yeshu, we're going to internalize. And like we know that the Rambam says, what does it mean, Olam Haba, the world to come? This is very revolutionary. What does it mean, the world to come? That the world, Olam Haba, is already now, exists, and it's standing even now. So why is it called Olam Haba, the world to come? Because it comes after the work in this world. But Olam Haba already exists now. And the same thing also, about all the ideas of the future. That all, everything that's going to be in the future exists today. So why is it called the future, L'Asid Lavo? Because it will get drawn down and revealed after we do the work now, but it already exists now. And that's why he says, Basukah is Teshu. In the sukkah we should sit, Kala Ezra Kriyasol, because when we fulfill the mitzvah of Basukah is Teshu, which means the Makif gets internalized, we actually bring in Kala Ezra, everything in the future. And this creates a proper preparation of the revelation we're going to have in the future, and then it's obviously going to be revealed on a much greater level. And that's why when Yontif, the first day of Yontif, falls on Shabbat, so we know that you can't bring a lulav on Shabbat. besides in the temple. Why is that? What's the purpose of the lulav? Like we said, is to bring the makif of the sukkah in an internalized way. But on Shabbos, every Shabbat, makif is internalized, just in Shabbos itself. So you don't need the lulav. And therefore, you have enough of the decree of Rabbah not to bring it. Now, if that's the case, you're asking, so how come in the times of the temple they would bring it on Shabbat? Because there's obviously different levels of makif and of hovering over. And when you bring the lulav, in the times of the temple, they were able to bring in a much higher level of makif, higher than comes normally on Shabbat. Because Shabbos, we know, has itself as holy, and it brings in. But on the times of the temple, they will bring in from a higher level. However, in the times of exile, even when you bring the lulav, you can't bring the higher level. And this we have the power to bring now is the regular level that comes in Shabbat. And like we said before, besukkah's tasteful. What does that mean? We have to bring down the makif of sukkah and bring it internalized, and that creates a proper preparation, the chala ezrach, b'Yisrael, which means the part that's going to shine in the future. We're going to reveal the true makif. And like we said before, what's the level of makif? Pnimius atik, the internal part of atik, which is the internal part of keser. And that's the revolutionary idea and the revelation what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Because now, all the revelations, yeah, we have tremendous revelations today, but it only comes from chitzonius, the external part of atik. However, when Mashiach comes in the future, we're going to be able to reveal pnimius atik. And that's why the verse says, yishakenu minashikas piyu, that you're going to have the kiss of his mouth, that we're going to learn Torah when Mashiach comes from the mouth of Mashiach. And what is the mouth of Mashiach? Pnimius, the internal part of Atik and Keter, this Atik and Arach. So now we have the external part, Mashiach comes from the internal part. And that's why we know that Mashiach is even higher than other Marishon. And like it says in the verse, Yarum v'nosav gav ma'oid, and we know ma'oid is the same letters as Adam, but together with that permutation, it refers to infinite, which means that Mashiach is going to be even a much higher level. And that's why it says basukas teishul, we're going to take the makiv and internalize it. Kol Ezrach, referring to the future, that the drawing in the makiv of sukkah is a preparation for all the revelations going to be like in the future with the redemption we're going to have in the future through Mashiach Tzidkenu. And like Yerba finishes off, he should come and he should redeem us and he should take us standing upright to Eretz Yisrael. And over there, we're going to bring the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring. And like it says, Rebbe says, k'mitzvas v'tzoynecha, like the mitzvah of Ratzon Hashem, we should do it. And it should all happen b'karoiv mamash. So here you have a beautiful Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe about the holiday Sukkah, is what we accomplish by going into the Sukkah, bringing the Makkah, bringing into the Pnimius, connecting to the future, but ultimately want the ultimate future, because then we'll have Pnimius Atif. So let's hope and pray that we have the coming of Mashiach, that Rebbe finishes off, and the next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great day, and Chag Sameach.